Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we come to God's Word this morning, we come to Daniel chapter 6, the well-known story of Daniel in the lion's den. So let us read together the Word of Almighty God. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would not suffer loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any fault or error found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisers have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree, "Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." So they answered and said before the king, "That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day." And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king, and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians, that no decree or statute which the king establishes shall be changed." So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that he should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them, and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. As we look at God's Word this morning, we see something very important. We see the fact that Daniel has been throughout his life very careful in being obedient to God, in being the servant of God. And we see that as Daniel comes into a situation in which his life is in danger, yet he continues in that obedience to God and that servitude to Almighty God. And that God provides for him even in the midst of this trouble, in the midst of this trial. And that God provides for Daniel, saving him from the lion's den. And so as we look at this passage, we see the theme that we want to see in God's Word this morning is God's people overcome lions by consistency in obedience. God's people overcome lions by consistency in obedience. In verses 10 through 13, we see that obedience may get us in trouble. In verses 14 through 20, we see that quiet obedience converts. And in verses 21 through 28, we see that even through this, even through trials, God is honored. And so God's people overcome lions by consistency in obedience. First of all, obedience may get you in trouble. Notice the civil disobedience. When laws require us to sin, we must disobey. On the other hand, sinful laws, just because they're sinful, don't give us a reason. Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Notice that Paul is writing this about a much more sinful government than we have ever seen in the United States. And so, despite the fact that the king had said for Daniel not to pray, Daniel is praying as God had set up through Solomon in the dedication of the temple. We can read that in 1 Kings chapter 8, that God's eyes would be open toward this temple night and day, toward the place of which you have said, my name shall be there, and that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place, and may you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they give prayer toward this place, here in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. And this was his custom, we read in verse 10, as was his custom since early days. This was how Daniel lived, in prayer to God three times a day. And yet, even in the midst of this, then we have this conflict of egos. We have this ego of the people who are trying to be rulers. Daniel, having lived a righteous, obedient life to God, is disliked because he may well get a higher position than these other men. And so they bring this opportunity, this idea that if anyone would pray or request anything from any god or king except for King Darius, he would be put to death. He would be thrown in with the lions. And King Darius, being somewhat foolish at this point, of course, signs the decree, we read in verse 9. And then don't you just hate that feeling of when you have been had? This was the life of King Darius's friend, of Daniel. And certainly here it has been put into great danger because of what Darius had just signed. And yet, in the midst of this, then we see that quiet obedience converts. This is Daniel's accustomed godliness, we saw in verse 10. This was his custom. Quiet godliness, we read, had already changed Darius's heart. We read verse 14 that the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and he set hard on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. This was not just a one-time event for Daniel. We must understand that this ought to be our daily perspective in the world, that we are on our knees before Almighty God, trusting and putting our faith in Him. Psalm 36, verse 7, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. We are to continually resort to Almighty God. We are not to trust in man. Darius, of course, had already shown that to Daniel. We understand then these men approached the king and said to the king, O king, know that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. And so the king had made this grave mistake, and yet the king was working for Daniel, we read, and we read later on that he spent the night fasting, you know, with no musicians, and the sleep went from him. He arose early in the morning, and Daniel, and even the king here, put their trust in God. Notice what the king says to Daniel, verse 16, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. The king didn't entirely understand that. He ran over there, verse 19, arose early in the morning and went in haste to the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? And of course, God had delivered. Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And so we are to put our trust in God, not in man, not in what man can do. And you remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had said in a very similar situation. They were going to be put to death by Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, "We are not careful to answer you, O king. Our God, whom we serve, will deliver us, and if he doesn't, we will not serve your images, O king." We are not to turn from our service of Almighty God when the king says otherwise, when our life is on the line. And through this, then, God is honored, verses 21 through 28, in the events which God controls. Notice Daniel's innocence as witness. We read verse 22. "My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth, so they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Daniel's innocence is a witness to who he is. 1 Peter 3, verse 16, "Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." And this is also witnessed by Daniel's prosperity. Verse 28, "So then Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian." Notice Daniel has outlasted four major kings of the known world at that time. And notice as well the destruction of the wicked, verse 24. "And the king gave command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of the lions, them, their children, their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den." Yes, it certainly feels good to hear about the destruction of the wicked. But what we have to understand is what God is doing here. Before they hit the bottom of the lion's den, Daniel had not been touched. Who is in control? God is in control. God is in direct control and providing safety to his people and providing destruction to those who set their minds and their lives on the destruction of his people. And so we again read a confession. We can read the confession of King Darius. He writes, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure forever. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." God's kingdom is not destroyed. Dominion is God's to the end. Remember Daniel 2, verse 44. This is the echo of the image of the dream. "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." This is also, remember, the confession of Nebuchadnezzar after Daniel had shown him what was going to happen, that he was going to be eating grass, among many other things, that he would go insane, and that then he would be restored. And so as we look at these things, we need to understand something. Who is in control of the history of the world? And that is Almighty God. And we need not fear. God is directing all things for the good of his people, to the good of those who call upon his name. And we as Christians then are to be constant in obedience to him, not to man, not to the things of this world. Amen. Thank you for joining us on Start the Week this morning. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. We have begun worship services in Dickinson. My colleague, Reverend Dale Clark, is pastoring a chapel of Salem Reformed Church, First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. They are meeting at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 2 p.m. Sundays for worship. If you have any questions, again, that number is 701-288-3265. If Ashley or Dickinson are too or far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Anamoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, and in Golden Valley, Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be happy to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.